Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, now also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I am your co-host, Walter Duraglia, joined this week by a special guest co-host, Greg Hyland. Hello, Greg.
Why, hello.
Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Excellent.
Out of the cold.
Greg, you're filling in for Chris,
I am.
Who's away. And we appreciate the late notice fill-in.
That's okay, though.
All right. I'm going to put you through your paces today, Greg. Usually I like to start the show with mentioning today being Wednesday.
It sure is.
And you being a comic fan knows what happens on Wednesday.
I am.
Yes. New releases hitting the stands today.
Oh, I usually come in on Sunday.
Oh, okay. All right. One of those late guys.
Yeah.
All right. Siege number 2 hits the stands today.
Excellent.
I know. Big series from Marvel. I kind of like it. It's only 4 issues and not one of those 8 or 12 issue things. And the crossovers are extensive, but not as extensive as it used to be. Kind of shortened to the point.
That is good. They've been pretty good, though. I've actually been impressed by Marvel's stuff that they've done in these sort of big events. They've actually been pretty good. And yeah. Siege is, I have to say, pretty interesting.
Yeah,
the first issue was really nice.
Yeah, and good demand for the series, so we're hoping the quality keeps up.
Four issues it should.
Yeah, you know what, you're right. And from what I understand, like I read the prequel and the little kind of teaser. I haven't read number 1 yet. But I mean, I like the premise. I'm a big Thor fan, so I like the premise. So let's hope it just lives up to the hype. Usually they don't, but so far it is good. You're right.
Although, I mean, their last, I thought, Secret Invasion and Dark Reign and all that have actually been pretty good. Whereas I have to say, I've been reading the Darkest Night.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what's going on. It makes no sense to me.
Right. Fair enough. Hey, you go back to the 80s. Remember Star Comics?
I do.
Yeah. Well, today, Volume 2 of the All-Star Collection of Star Comics graphic novel by Marvel released today. Check it out. You get, what do you get? Oh, Planet Terry, number 3 and 4.
That's by Warren Ellis, isn't
yeah.
it?
Top Dog, 4 to 6. Wally the Wizard and Royal Roy. Do you remember any
I do remember all this
That's
stuff.
A sad statement. I mean.
It really is. I predict, though, that book
yeah.
will sell in the dozens.
Does like nationwide?
Nationwide, right?
Yeah. Right.
Good move, Marvel.
Yes, I know. Well, you
the
know,
fan was really looking forward to this coming out.
Yeah, you know what? You think they would have learned their lesson? Obviously, there was a Volume 1, and I guess it sold enough, or probably already in motion that they had to put through the number 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, DC fan, or are you more
yeah.
of a Marvel fan?
I'm Marvel and DC.
Both, eh?
Both, yeah.
Excellent,
yeah.
Excellent. Well,
I wasn't as a kid. I was the big Marvel kid.
Yeah.
But I always had a fondness for Batman, you
excellent.
Know, so.
We want to talk about that. It's a family show.
Oh, okay. Right. Whoa, hey!
All right. Superman, World of Krypton, issue 12 of the big 12-issue Greg Rucka miniseries. It finishes today, so basically expect the hardcover next week. And what else we got? Oh, Batman Confidential. Do you read Confidential or do you read just
I do not. I no. There's too many Batman
yeah,
books.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But
Sam Keith, you see, like, Batman Confidential, I mean, Sam Keith is writing it and he's drawing it. And he's kind of like got a weird style. I won't say like Paul Pope, but he's definitely kind of got a. If he's doing something, there's always like a little cult following behind.
That's
the guy
true. He's got
like
a big.
That.
I've honestly never liked him.
No.
Yeah. Never. I never. No.
The art style.
The art style was just too. Yeah, I don't know. Just something that did not appeal to me. But I know an awful lot of people
mm-hmm.
that they loved it.
Excellent. So yeah, you're right.
So yeah. So I don't know. I'm
all
the
right.
minority.
Anyway, so. That, people, is just a sampling of today's releases. Please head into your local comic shop, support your local comic shop, and check out today's new fare.
I'm waiting till Sunday.
Okay. Or wait till the weekend and check out the new fare. Industry news is what we usually do next, Greg, and I do have some Captain America news for the film.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently it's in, now it's in, now... I'm not sure if you would know. I don't know. This is in the production designing stage where you get a whole bunch of artists plotting what should happen, and they're drawing it out, and then they're presenting it to people and saying, hey, we'd really like this sequence to happen this way and stuff like that. So they're in that kind of phase, which apparently is well on its way, I guess. The filming obviously hasn't started, but what would you call that? Was that like...
I guess
storyboarding.
It could be storyboarding. Storyboarding, could be like conceptual designs,
right?
Because they won't necessarily do a storyboard without a script,
right?
But,
I think they're working off a script, but the artists are involved.
Yeah, they could be storyboarding or just doing like rough or sort of conceptual designs of just scenes,
right? And also the report says here that. Basically, it's going to start in 1942-43, the movie, well, like wartime, and then kind of fast forward into Captain America now. So
sounds good.
I know, sounds great.
They handled that sort of thing really good in Ultimates. So
yeah, you're right. Who did the Ultimates? Miller, right? Mark Miller.
Mark Miller and some other guy.
Right.
Who drew it?
Yes.
I can't remember. I'm sorry.
And no, it's okay. Miller wrote it, though.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, you're right. And it was excellent. It
Brian Hitch.
Right.
There you go.
Right. And you know what it was? It was good. The guys hit it. It was good populist entertainment. Right. That's what that was.
It was, yeah. I mean...
Pacing was good.
Yep, the Ultimates book was really, really solid. The first and second series were great. I hear the third series is unreadable.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know. I haven't read the third series. I really enjoyed the first
one. I was told to avoid it.
Okay.
Because it'll ruin what you liked about the first one.
But the first and second one. Yeah. All right. Also news, Avengers. News is that Brian Michael Bendis and John Romita Jr. will be creating a new Avengers comic book series starting, I believe, in May. And we're not sure of the team yet, but... apparently, Spidey will be in it. So, is that a good move, putting Spidey in the Avengers?
I didn't think so. Back when he started on the new Avengers, I saw Spider-Man in there. I always liked the fact, when I was a kid, that Spider-Man was not in the Avengers.
Right.
Unlike, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Justice League.
Yep.
To keep Spider-Man out was kind of a neat move. However, for some unknown reason, I did start buying new Avengers, and I got to liking Spider-Man as an Avenger.
Yeah, well, Bendis' writing was really good. Spider-Man was like the comic relief, right, in the Avengers. He always had the one-liners.
Yeah, so I will like him being in this new book.
Yeah. Now, I remember like the old Avengers, and I don't know how to say this, but it was like, it's almost like the sum of the parts was... Sorry, the whole Avengers team was greater than the sum of its parts. So in other words, you took kind of B-list characters, but you put them in the Avengers, and the team was big. It's like the Rolling Stones, they suck on their own, but you put them together, and they make good things, right?
If you say so.
Okay. The Avengers was always like that for me, because it always, Hawkeye and Ant-Man and all these guys are, Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Give them a miniseries and it tanks, right?
Garbage.
Yeah.
But on their own...
In the series, it was good. And then it's almost like Marvel's going, oh, man, we can make even more. I'm not going to say it's a sellout. Obviously, it's not. I mean, if you can use Spidey in it well, use him in it well. But I don't know. I mean, it gets a bit romantic to the old using lesser characters into a good team.
Yeah.
Like that.
When they started the new Avengers, I thought also, Spider-Man and Wolverine in it seemed
overkill.
Weird. Well, just like it was like when they had what DC did with Justice League by... putting the top popular characters in it. But oh well. But it actually worked, and I actually didn't mind Wolverine even being in.
Right, right.
Because I don't read X-Men, so.
Yeah. All right. Legion of fans are waiting for that one anyway. Are you... Lobo. Have you ever read Lobo?
No, I don't. Right.
Well, there was... I was going to say Lionel Richie, but it's Guy Ritchie, I think, the director.
I'd prefer Lionel Richie directing it.
What was this? What was he in the Commodores? Lionel Richie? Is it?
I think so.
Did he sing at the Copa?
No.
Copa. No.
No.
That was.
Was he not dancing on the ceiling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dancing in the Streets.
Or Dancing. No, All I've Night got it all wrong. Who cares? All right.
I think I got Barry Manilow in
I
there.
I don't know.
All right. Anyway, Lying No. No. Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie.
Was supposed to direct this Lobo movie.
Yeah.
But I think what's happened is the success of the Sherlock Holmes hit with what's his name? Iron yep, Man guy. Robert Downey has got him scheduled now to direct a sequel. So they're pushing back this Lobo movie, apparently, or looking for a new director.
Nobody wants a Lobo movie.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, it's like some goths or something like that that like Lobo.
I think it's about 15 years too late.
Yeah? Yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
Yeah, early 90s seemed to be when Lobo was the big thing.
Yeah, I know, but now, Greg, is the time where you just make a movie about any comic character imaginable.
Like
right?
Steel.
Yeah, he's no. next. Or did they already do one?
They already did a movie with Shaquille O'Neal. See, you
oh,
didn't.
That's right,
it was
yeah.
so good that you didn't even know.
I remember
know.
Now. I remember. Yeah. Yeah, you refreshed my memory.
Yeah,
like,
sorry.
Just hit me,
I'm sorry about that.
You slapped me across the head and go, what the hell? Wow. Yeah, you're right. On that same vein of kind of why are they doing this, The Shadow, the pulp Shadow from the 30s. Sam Raimi, the Spider-Man guy.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. He's... apparently going to follow through and make some sort of Shadow movie based on The Shadow and stuff like that. He's bought the rights for it and he wants to do it and stuff like that. I mean, there's another, like, what, C-list character? It's not even B-list, The Shadow.
Though that's kind of character that the people that are into it are really into it. However, the people that are into it, I hate to say, are, like, all in their 60s and mm-hmm. over. It's just not
necessarily moviegoers, right?
The kids today
yeah.
do not want a Shadow
the
movie.
Shadow. Yeah.
They don't want a Lobo movie either.
Yeah.
They maybe, want Deadpool. That's what they
that's
want.
That's right. You're right.
I don't
maybe this is the phase in comic book movies. Remember like in the 60s? You remember way back, Greg, in the 60s?
I do.
When rock and roll hit.
I've heard of rock and roll.
Right. And it was the biggest thing.
Yeah.
The Beatles, you know, the Stones, the Who. And basically a record producer was saying, just put four kids together, give them a haircut, and give them a guitar, you know, and it'll sell.
And you get the Monkees.
Right. Exactly. So maybe this is a phase now where all the studios and all the guys go, man, there's just money in comic movies. Let's just do it. And we need a bunch of duds to kind of calm everything down and say, hey, let's get back to
exactly. Some. You know, although, I mean, even like, I mean.
The Spirit was a dud.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, even, like, Daredevil was terrible.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Like, yeah. It doesn't take obscure characters to be bad. It's
yeah, you're
Marvel
right.
and DC. Iron Man was lucky.
Well,
I mean, it was a good movie.
Yeah, it was talent behind it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was...
Yeah. Iron Man came along... I think Iron Man came along at the right time because I think already, you know, the die was cast in his, you know... people's perceptions of going, just because it's a comic book movie doesn't mean
yeah.
it's going to be good. And then kind of Iron Man came in and reinvigorated everything.
It did, because yeah. also in that year you had Ghost Rider, which was like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Fantastic Four movies were so-so, mm-hmm. and, you know, Spider-Man was great, but yep. then everything that came out after that, even the Hulk movies were pretty weak.
Yeah.
Both of them. Well, the first one was unwatchable.
Right.
And the yeah. second one was...
Yeah,
really boring it. But then Iron Man was just a really good movie,
yeah,
regardless.
Breath of fresh air,
yeah. So it doesn't have to be a superhero. It just has to be a good movie.
A good movie, right?
You know, and Dark Knight yeah. was a great movie too, right? But
you know what? I'm afraid to admit this, but I didn't see the Heath Ledger Dark Knight movie.
Well,
yeah, it was a good.
When we're over, when this is done, we'll go.
Okay, right on. It's still playing at the drive-in.
I think so.
Okay. What else do we got? Oh, you know what? I've been avoiding Avatar news for the last 6 weeks because it didn't really fit in with comic culture.
No.
But I'm going to start it today because there is a bit of comic news. So it just passed $2 billion trillion or something like that. I think it's going to pass $600 million domestic and beat, Titanic?
The boat movie.
The boat movie, yeah. So obviously huge things, but reading, I guess it's from Heavy.com, a website, they're saying that Avatar was taken from a comic, 2000 AD, which is, I think, a British rag.
It was a
right?
British anthology.
Right. Yeah. Back in around 1999, 2000, they're saying a good year before the first scripts to Avatar were produced. This story called, I think, Firekind, mirrors Avatar almost to a T in terms of what's happening, in terms of the planet, the wildlife, the natives, the religion, the invaders, and you know, floating rocks and all that kind of stuff. And so, I mean, I read that today online. I don't know if that's going to go anywhere. Is going to, you know, if that's going to kind of hit mainstream media on accusations of him taking somebody's idea. But I found it interesting news. Have you seen the movie?
I have seen the movie. I've seen it, in fact, twice. Oh, so there you go.
Yeah. Were you entertained?
Enough to see it twice.
Good. Yeah, well.
So, I mean, it was good. And I mean, the movie clearly lifts from lots of sources.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, without reading this comic story.
Right.
I mean, it clearly lifts from, you know, it's the story of that Dances with Wolves has.
Yeah.
Dune tells more or less the exact same story.
Yeah.
But the look of the movie has, like, a feel that definitely is using, like, 20s pulp, like, science fiction, just the look of it.
Right,
it's
yeah.
like, it's, and it's not, it's almost like not trying to hide the fact that it's very influenced. And, you know, it's clear that James Cameron has read a lot of science fiction, because it also lifts a lot from written science, like, you know, science
like
fiction books, and lifts. It has its influences. So I don't know,
right?
I don't know. I think we'd have to see this story.
Yeah,
but,
you know, it'd be interesting. And the story is called Firekind. If anybody wants to look it up and check it out, and it is from the British, like Greg said, the British anthology. Comic 2000 AD, which was more like a mag, right? It was a mag.
Yeah, and I think you know, a lot of the big name British people worked on it, like Alan Moore,
you're right,
was a contributor. Mm-hmm. Dave Gibbons,
yep.
And you know, all that crowd, I think, got a lot of their start on that magazine. But you know,
yeah,
you'd have to see the story. I think people really, I don't know, people just really want to say, James Cameron, you're a successful, but we want to hammer you.
Else, yeah.
Yeah, boom.
Well, you know, yeah,
they want to see someone who's successful fail. And
I guess, well, Google it and see for yourself and judge for yourself, I guess, is the best way to go about that. All right, that kind of takes us out of the industry news, Greg. Thanks for your commentary.
Oh, all right.
And kind of move into the show where we're going to talk to you about what you do and about your take on everything that's going on in comics. Now, you produce Lethargic Lad.
I do. It's a comic that I've worked on for almost 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Crusade, they published that back in 96 was when you actually published your first...
Yes and no. Actually, I started self-publishing in 1991.
Right.
I was then picked up by a small publishing company after that,
mm-hmm.
called Alpha Productions, and they really helped out a lot. And then in 96, because I got to know Bill Tucci, who was the guy who ran Crusade,
yeah.
which did a comic called SHI.
Yes, She, yeah.
That's in the quarter bins.
Yes, but it's also a nice TNA book, by the way.
Oh, it was one of the beginning of that terrible kind of comic. So, at the time...
Terrible in a good way.
No.
No?
No,
okay.
Just wrong.
Okay.
At the time, Image had started picking up... Like, they started doing Bone, and they were picking up other, like, independent things. And I think... Bill Tucci wanting to feel like he was one of those guys called me up and said, I'll do your book.
Right.
And so that, although, I mean, you know, it did get me a lot of attention. I actually was talking to Image at the time about going to Image.
What stopped you?
Bill offered, it was going really slow with Image, and mm-hmm. Bill was kind of like, okay, here's when we'll do it, and here's the deal, and
right.
it was a slightly better deal. And I was like, oh, what the, at least to get this going.
Yeah, one in the hands with two in the bush.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I went with him, and that got me attention. It didn't last long for various horrifying reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And not because it didn't sell.
No.
It actually sold well, but they were somewhat, as a company, inept.
Right. Well, I mean, they're a young, they're upstart. Maybe they didn't understand. This is also the time where just things are collapsing, right?
They're the beginning of the end is happening. I mean, he was selling tons,
right?
And his, it was funny because I went, for lack of a better term, on tour with them. So I went to a lot of conventions,
right?
And I mean, they had huge lineups, and they were.
So you were one of those guys that they lined up.
Oh yeah, they would skip me.
Well,
the people would skip right by me. They would look at.
Did they know?
It was appalling. I remember one of their tricks that just horrified me. I remember sitting, and they had their limited edition book that they're selling for $10 instead of, and they were selling these hands over fist, and it's limited edition. Yet they had cases and cases of it behind the booth, and I just thought, this is a giant scam. Meanwhile, I'm struggling.
Limited number of cases, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I'm struggling to sell my $3 comic book.
Yeah.
And they can't, hand over fist selling $10 piece of crap comics.
Yeah.
So.
Going back, I think maybe it was my second con or third con back maybe 86, 87, where I was selling old comics. And I remember I had, I don't know, let's forget the book. Let's say it was Spider-Man 122, Death of Green Goblin, right? And it was something else. It was a new one. I'm wrong. And a lady came up to the counter and asked for it. And I saw it there. And there it is. And she goes, oh, that's great. I go, yeah, it's my last one. Because I had brought like six or something. And she goes, oh. And she bought it. And then like 20 minutes later, I was rummaging for my lunch or something like that. And I found another copy. And I put it up on the thing. On the wall, and maybe 10 minutes later or half hour later, somebody came, and I go again, oh, it's my last one. And then it triggered in my mind, hey, that's a gimmick. That's my last one. I'm going to use that again and again and again. And I'm sure like these guys, limited edition.
Yeah, right? It's just ridiculous. My book probably had a lower print run than their limited edition piece of junk. But anyway, eventually then I went back to self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
After, but I was able to keep some of the numbers that I got from Crusade, some of the fans, so it got me exposure.
Now, this is 96, 97, there's no webcomics yet,
no.
Right?
So what no, are you doing? Though, I was thinking about it at the
already?
Time. Yeah, I got on the internet, I think, pretty early. I was looking at the internet in 94, and I was doing a lot of stuff with, at the time, CompuServe.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like before web pages.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had to get there were no web pages. You had companies that had their own thing like CompuServe and
right.
That's what AOL was.
Right.
And it was just basically just message boards really, but that you could post images up onto. And there was a CompuServe comics forum that I was in. And because I was a professional, they let me in for free.
Thanks.
And I remember the guy running it was always encouraging me to post comics.
Right.
And what I would do is I would post, because I was publishing, I would post up pages. The drawback was, this is all dial-up. So to it would take forever to see
a page.
Right. So it didn't seem that efficient, but I'd put up maybe two or three out of the pages of a book as a preview.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of saw potential in this, and I thought it would be nice to do original material, but I just didn't have time for that. But I was thinking of that back in 94.
So when did Lethargic Lad make its first kind of online appearance?
In 2000 was when I started.
That's pretty early
online.
Too.
There wasn't as many, And I remember my big influence on that was there was a comic Megaton Man by Don Simpson, who was sort of a guy that I knew. I'd like to say a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that I got along with at convention, and he was in self-publishing at the time, and he was the first guy that I knew that from the 90s self-publishers that jumped online.
Right.
And I remember when he hit his 100th strip that I was like, I got to do 100.
Right.
That's my goal.
Yeah. What
is to hit 100. 475.
Look at you.
After
almost up at the FF numbers.
In April, it will be 10 years of the webcomic. And I hate to say, Don Simpson and Megadon Man disappeared, I don't know, maybe
look at you now, Don. Look at you now.
Yeah, he's right. Probably doing well as a commercial artist.
I'm sure he is. So, now, if I can just jump over to, you also do some work for the Lego Corporation.
I do.
Is that true?
I do.
Can you explain a little bit about that for us?
I do. Well, I'm a big Lego fan, and I started doing comics that were put online for Star Wars Lego, and that basically, it got the attention of the Lego company, and they called me up actually very quickly, and they were like, do you want to work for us? So,
right.
And that was 2002 I started doing that.
And you're still working?
I'm still working for them. And actually, in March, I will have, as a freelancer, this rarely happens, but I will have worked on nonstop projects with them for the last 2 years.
Wow.
Whereas before, it would be like, you know, I might do 6 or 7 projects a year, whereas right. It's been nonstop. I storyboard their commercials. They have cartoons, animated cartoons that are online, like they do a Clone Wars cartoon.
Yep.
So if you go to the Lego.com Star Wars area, they've uh-huh. got these animated things that I boarded. I just finished...
How about for the video games?
No. All the video games are done by a company in England, and I did talk to them, but they basically said, if you want to work for us, you have to move to England.
Right, right.
Whereas I'm able to stay at home.
Right.
And even though Lego's in Connecticut,
right?
It's all email, you know.
Okay, sorry, I cut you off. You just finished.
I just finished cartoons for Prince of Persia.
Oh yes,
which is a big movie coming out. There will be Prince of Persia Lego coming up. So I just did some cartoons that I think will be online. I hope I haven't broken any NDA contracts by saying this.
I'm sure you didn't. Now. I can't get my kid, because I'm a late Christmas shopper, I can't get him Legos in December, you know, the good sets, the big Star Wars sets. So can I, next year, can I, like, call you up?
Can you call me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say, hey, hook me up with, hook me up with the cruiser. What do you call that? The big,
The Republic Cruiser.
Yeah, the Republic Cruiser.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. Take you up on that.
Oh, no.
All right. Now. Is there anything, so we've got Lethargic Lad, which, by the way, is on comicbookdaily.com.
It is on comicbookdaily.com and lethargiclad.com.
And lethargiclad.com. And you're doing some work for Lego, which is great. I find that fascinating. Is there any other projects you're working on now?
I just finished illustrating a game, a card game called Spin the Issue. But I've done work for Steve Jackson Games. I've worked on Munchkin and their Shea. I did a game called Shea Guevara.
Are these board games?
No, they're like card games, but unlike, say, Magic, you get everything. It's like a box, and you get the entire game.
Oh, okay.
And they usually take about an hour to play. Munchkin is really successful.
Yeah, I've seen Munchkin.
Yeah, so I worked on one Munchroom supplement.
Look at you.
First, because the regular artist didn't want to do it, but he didn't have time.
I'm sick of it already.
No. I had this company call me called GBG Publishing, and they were like, we really liked one of your other games called Burn in Hell,
mm-hmm.
and they said, we want to do a game called Spin the Issue, and we want it to look like Burn in Hell a little bit. And it's all, I have no idea how, I actually don't usually play my own games.
Right.
I have no idea how this game works, but I did a lot of, it's like political cartoons.
Okay.
So I drew a lot of George Bush's and Barack Obama's and doing crazy, wacky things.
That's pretty cool.
So I just finished that actually yesterday.
Oh, good for you.
So there
you
go.
Good for you. Anything in the pipeline that's exciting that you're allowed to tell the people?
Well, Spin the Issue is supposed to be out in February.
Right.
They'll be, check the Lego.com website for any cartoons. Pretty much any CG animated cartoons that you see there, I probably did.
Are you credited on that site, or
no.
They don't do that?
No.
Nice.
I did do comics that went with the Lego Batman sets that came out a few years ago.
Right.
And I snuck my name in there a few
times.
So
good for you. All right. Well, Greg, we unfortunately are out of time.
That was fast.
Yeah, it was. And I really appreciate you having you on.
No problem.
Again, with such short notice. And great fan of your work. Go visit Lego.com, LethargicLad.com, ComicBookDaily.com. Check some of Greg Hyland's work
out. All the dot coms.
All the dot coms.
They're all good.
And they're all good. And again, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
We're shaking hands.
Okay, we're shaking hands. And that is the show. We'll see everybody next week.